Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Today we shall continue on the subject matter of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing upon this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I told you that I'm trying to cover 3 points in this series concerning the trial of Jesus. And the first one is that Adam killed Adam. That is, the first Adam killed the second Adam at Calvary's tree. Secondly, I want to draw your attention to the fact that evil, carnality, the wickedness of man came to its highest expression at the cross. And thirdly, I want to tell you that all that happened at the cross was for our good. What I brought you last week was the question, who killed Jesus? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews who passed the sentence? Was it the letter of the law applied without regard to the Spirit? Or was it something deeper than that? And it was our conclusion, it was something deeper than all of that. It is carnality, it is the Adamic nature within the heart of man, of which Jeremiah says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is, my friend, what put Jesus on the cross. And then I also mentioned to you at the end of last week's message that it was not as easy as we think today for those Jews to discern whether Jesus was of God or whether he was of the devil. Because of the wickedness in the heart of man, because of the blindness and darkness in the heart of man, it was extremely difficult for them to put it all together. And the only way you can perhaps come close to blaming the Jews for having killed Jesus, and that you would not have done so if you had been there, is if you can tell me that you never criticized your pastor, you never found fault with him, you never passed a sentence of judgment upon him, nor upon your husband or wife, nor upon any Christian on the face of the earth, that you do not have this Adamic, this carnal, critical, fault-finding, condemning nature within you. If you have never criticized anyone, resented anyone, complained about anyone, then you probably would not have killed Jesus. But if you ever have done such things, as I mentioned, my friend, then you too, had you been there, would most likely have said, crucify him, crucify him. So we need deliverance. We need deliverance from this old Adamic nature, from the first Adam, which put the second Adam on the cross. Today, let us consider my second point in reference to the trial, and that is the trial of Jesus exposes the deceitfulness of the carnal nature, of the crookedness of man, more than anything else we see in all of biblical history. It is a carnal nature that prevents man from making the right spiritual judgment. We are in John chapter 19 now, where the Jews said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Dear ones, Jesus did not make himself the Son of God. No one can make himself the Son of God. This is the very point that the Apostle John brings out at the very beginning, when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Nobody can make himself the Son of God. John says in his first verse of his gospel that the Son of God is eternal. He's co-eternal with the Father, and he is one with the Father, and he's equal with him. So we have the blunder of the Jews in this accusation. We must kill him because he made himself the Son of God. No, he did not make himself the Son of God. He was and is God. So the problem here was really a problem of mistaken identity. They saw him to be somebody that he was not. A maker, a deceiver of himself, making himself something he really was not. They saw him to be an evil person, which he was not. And it was not until after the resurrection, after Pentecost, that the eyes of thousands of Jews were open to see what wonderful, wonderful person Jesus really was. And isn't this also true, dear ones, today when a man or woman gets saved and sanctified, all of a sudden They say, oh, I didn't know I had such a wonderful wife. I didn't know my husband was so great. I never saw it. I was blinded to it all these years. This whole thing was a problem of mistaken identity. We lack spiritual discernment until we're saved and sanctified. Until that time, we don't really know what's what and who's whose. It is only as we come into the life of the Holy Spirit that we have spiritual discernment. Without the Holy Spirit, we are blind. The Bible says we are in darkness. So the Jews said Jesus ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. No, they were deceived. Jesus was the Son of God. There's another reason why the Jews wanted Jesus to die, and this is brought out in verse 15 of this chapter. And I read it to you. The context here is that Pilate really is trying to wash his hands of this whole thing. And he said, this is your king, and you crucify him, and you just let me stay out of this. And then it says the chief priest, imagine this, the chief priest cried out saying, we have no king but Caesar. Could you ever have imagined from reading the Gospels that the chief priest of the Jewish people would ever say, we have no king but Caesar? That was just as much blasphemy as some Germans and some German Christians in parentheses, dear ones, saying, we have no leader but Adolf Hitler, Heil Hitler, a Roman emperor, the emperor of an occupying force who was a pagan, who worshipped other gods, who worshipped idols, who had no Jewish blood flowing in his veins, who was not the son of Abraham. He, the chief priest, let me ask you, he is your king and no one else? Whatever happened to God being your king? And at this particular moment, the chief priest rejected the kingship of God, the Almighty God. So they did the same thing that Israel did way back there, as you read in the book of Samuel. When Samuel was about to die, the people of Israel said, we want a king like the unbelievers have kings. And God said, you have not rejected Samuel, but you have rejected me from being king over Israel. The high priest rejecting the kingship of God and saying, we have no king but Caesar. Listen, the high priest talked out of both sides of the mouth. They were double-minded. First they said, it is a law that makes us kill Jesus. And now they say, well, we have no king but Caesar. Do you know that if you go by Jewish law, that those chief priests should have been killed, should have been stoned immediately for having said, we have no king but Caesar? They should have been stoned instead of Jesus according to the law of Moses. But the best of Jewish law went out the window because the rage of carnality, the rage, my friend, of this carnal nature, the wickedness, the evil, the hate exploded at the foot of the cross. So what really killed Jesus physically was not a trial, but it was a riot, a mob going mad, wanting him killed at any cost. And my friend, when carnality is unleashed, you better get out of the way or you get run over. Here at the foot of the cross, the wickedness of man, the deceitfulness of man, reached its highest expression of evil in all of human history. Some of you heard about a wonderful book that's available in some of the bookstores throughout the world. It's called the Arco Volume. In this Arco Volume, you have a conversation of Jesus with the Jews, and Pilate is giving his reasons why the Jews had no right to kill Jesus when they did. You see, Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty. He said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate's wife had a dream that Jesus was the Son of God. So Pilate wanted to get out of this thing. But Pilate was also a Roman, and Romans were real sticklers when it comes to law. Roman law is one of the best things in all the world. So this is what Pilate told the priests. This is all recorded in the Arco Volume. He basically said, you have no right to pass sentence on this man or to execute him at this time. And here are six reasons. Your own law, your own Jewish law forbids you to do what you're about to do. Number one, he says your own law tells you that you cannot pass a sentence on a criminal until you fasted a whole day. They didn't do that. Secondly, the sentence must have the consent of the Sanhedrin and the signature of the president of the court. They didn't do that. Thirdly, no criminal by Jewish law could be executed on the same day as the sentence was fixed. They didn't do that. Fourthly, the Sanhedrin was required to review the whole proceeding after the sentence is passed. They didn't do that. Fifthly, a man, by Jewish law, was to be stationed at the court of law with a flag and another a short way up on horseback to cry the name of the criminal and his crime and the name of the witnesses and to let people know that they could testify in favor of the criminal. They would not allow that. And sixthly, the prisoner on the way to the execution had the right to turn back three times and to plead a new thing in his favor. Again, Pilate tried to apply reason, and Pilate tried to get the attention of the Jews to their law. But no, my friend, the people were so enraged, they were so enticed with a spirit of violence and killing, that they cried out even so much the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Methinks this is possibly the most botched up trial of any significant person in all of history. So at Calvary, carnality was exposed with all its ugliness, in its killing spirit, in its conniving spirit, in its lying spirit, in its deceitful spirit, in its fault-finding, critical, judgmental, and disobedient, and crooked spirit. Yes, it is carnality that killed Jesus. Finally, Calvary was all for our good. And I'm going to have to hurry here. At Calvary, at the cross, evil was overcome with good. Good conquered evil. At the cross, men's crookedness, ugliness, and sin was displayed at its worst, but God's goodness was displayed at its best. At Calvary, it was revealed more than in any other time in all of history that man needs a Savior to be delivered from the sins he has committed and from his own wicked heart. And on the cross, Jesus delivered us from what put him there. What put him there is the old Adam with its hate, rebellion, deceitfulness, and fault-finding spirit. My friend, that's what put Jesus on the cross. It's the very thing that Jesus came to deliver us from. So, that which killed Jesus, Jesus provided a cure for on the cross. So, the Bible says, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives him will have the benefit of Christ's work on the cross. He will receive forgiveness from Jesus. He will receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. And he will receive the power of the resurrection that brought Jesus from the dead back to life again. He will receive that power to live above sin and to crucify his old Adamic nature. Yes, this old hymn says, "Yes, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round his head sublime." Dear ones, if you have not given your heart to Jesus and invited him into your life as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, for the deliverance of that awful thing inside of you that put him on the cross, it's time to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I challenge you to pray for me every week that I might have the Word of God in my heart, that it might give new life to many listening, that it might sanctify believers and heal the sick and lift the discouraged and strengthen the weak and bring a worldwide Holy Ghost revival. Again, I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.